Hi, I'm Josh. I was born in poverty-laden Flint, Michigan to a blue-collar working family. I went from pulling weeds, washing dishes, and delivering pizzas to building a small business doing over $150,000 a month. I sold it and moved to Costa Rica with my wife and four kids. And on this podcast, we explore the secrets and the strategies that I used to win. Building your business is one of the hardest things you will ever do. So let me finally help you automate, grow, and someday sell your company. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on the Quick Talk podcast, where my job is to find interesting ways to deliver no fluff, straight to the point value to you when you're out hustling, you're grinding, you're trying to live the dream. And sometimes it feels like a nightmare. And today's guest, okay, I get to do an interview. I'm privileged to talk with John Bowen. Now, John's not your average run-of-the-mill kind of guy. Highly successful, highly intelligent. He's managed billions of dollars, widely recognized as a leader in the financial services industry. Just a lot of stuff. I'll let him unpack his background. But we're going to talk today about what it means to build what John calls serious wealth, to become seriously wealthy from the perspective of a home service company or a small business, which I think will be a very interesting conversation. John, how are you?
I am excellent, Josh. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for coming. I was excited when we got connected because you're kind of a big deal. I mean, I'm sure you're the most humble guy in the world, but you've done some amazing things. You founded four multi-million dollar businesses. You do all this nerdy financial, stock market, money management stuff that super intimidates people, but you also like to hop on and give back on podcasts like this. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and what your passions are now?
Well, it really happened when I was in college, Josh. My junior year, I got a call from my dad, and I was waiting for him to tell me about the new summer job. My father and uncle had a cast iron foundry in upstate New York. They were employing about 400 people, and I'd had kind of a small town, but for the small town, I was a rich kid, privileged and all that kind of stuff. And my dad was grooming me to take over the foundry. So he was giving me all the crummy jobs. And in a cast iron foundry, there's some pretty bad jobs. And I was just hoping at this point I was going to get an office air conditioned job. And when he called me, he goes, "John, I've got some bad news for you. The foundry's going under. Your uncle's going to stay and wrap it up. I'm going to go out because I need to get a job. We're pretty much losing everything. And oh, by the way, your mom and I are going to get a divorce.
Ooh.
And you don't have a summer job."
Good grief.
Yeah. And this is a big pause, Josh. And I just asked my dad, "Are you going to be okay?" And what really hit me then was he said, "I don't know." And one of the, you ask about my background and passion. It was really at that moment, I just couldn't understand how we had been successful and everything changed in that moment. And had my father had the right advisors along the way, that wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. And it didn't need to happen. And so I really dedicated my life to being a financial advisor first and working with entrepreneurs. I moved out to Silicon Valley and had the privilege of working with some of the top people in the world as entrepreneur, managing a couple billion dollars, and then later merged with a Canadian firm and worked with 600 of the wealthiest people in North America in the sports, entertainment, high tech. And what I saw, Josh, was so often people were being poorly served, particularly business owners, because we have complicated lives. And what happens is that there's so many financial advisors are kind of pretenders. They're well-intentioned, but they're not necessarily good for what we need. And so I've dedicated my life first for being that type of financial advisor that could really solve business entrepreneur challenges. And then in the last 12 years, I've been coaching the top financial advisors really in the world. And then in addition, we've more recently put together a matching service where we bring together business owners and financial advisors that can really serve them well.
Well, there's so much to unpack with what you said. Number one, I find it very interesting because I talk to a lot of people and so many success stories come out of a moment of pain you know, some sort of pivotal aha moment, good or bad, with your dad, with you having the rug ripped out from under you. I find it fascinating how those moments in our lives can really change the whole direction, change our paradigm. It's just super interesting to me. So you were the spoiled rich kid who had it taken away in a moment, which really rocked your world. I think that's really, really cool.
And I don't know if I was spoiled because I he'd give me jobs where they would pour iron, you know, into molds and it would spill. And my job was to jackhammer it and shovel it up to reclaim the iron before they pour it again. And because I was the president's son, the guys working the bucket were trying to pour the iron on me. So I'm not sure that would qualify as spoiled. But other than that, I've tried being very comfortable financially and not being comfortable. And I've learned I like the former a lot more, Josh.
Well, thanks for the correction. Thanks for the correction. I guess my main point was just that something big happen and it kind of set the direction for your life, and super interesting. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, you're in financial services and I'm like a hobbyist economist. Is that a thing? A hobby? I know a little bit about a lot of things. I think money and finance is interesting. In my early 20s, I had my securities licenses, just the easy ones, you know, the 6 and 63 and whatnot. But what I found interesting as I got a little bit older was that these large institutions, people like me, you know, these young 20-somethings go through a financial training, they get licensed, but really, we're almost paid regurgitators. You know, we have a set of funds, we sell people things within these guidelines. It's kind of a gross thing when I look back at it, because I didn't have enough life experience or knowledge to properly advise anybody. I was basically an order taker with a tie on. And I think a lot of small companies have advisors that are like that. I mean, can you speak to that and let me know if there's anything different?
No, I think this is really an important point. I mean, and, you know, there are in every industry, you know, extremely talented individuals, and then there's some kind of average, and then there's, you know, and I'm going to call them predators at the other extreme, con artists. And, you know, the financial services industry is no different than any other industry. And the biggest challenge is finding people with experience that can really help you, because particularly now, what's changed, Josh, is investments are becoming more and more commoditized. Mm-hmm. So as business owners, you know, we've done, Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach and Joe Polish of Genius Network and I wrote a book called The State of the Entrepreneur last year. And we surveyed 3,500 successful business owners and really see what their key concerns were. And yeah, they want help making smart decisions about their money, including the investment side, but there's so much more. They want to mitigate taxes. They want to take care of their heirs. They want to protect their assets as we become more and more successful. And we want to protect it from litigation and divorce. And we really want to, about two-thirds of us are very interested on the charitable side. And so few advisors or financial advisors or attorneys or accountants are proactive on, you know, the tax, the estate planning, the asset protection, and the charitable planning that we all need as we start having more success. So we want to take the time to really identify the right people that can make a difference, and it can be a huge difference.
How would you like to hang out with me for a whole week? I'm talking every single day for 7 days. Well, you can. You need to join my 7-day challenge. It's completely free. It's a ton of fun. Every single day, you get a special message with a short video from me firing you up to get rocking and kick your butt into gear for your business. Just send a text message, 7-day, to 44222. You gotta spell it out, SEVENDAY. Text it to 44222, or you can find a link at automategrowsell.com. How big does a company need to be to really feel like they're ready to talk to someone like you? And what I mean is, you know, the $40 an hour accountant from your tiny town in, you know, North Dakota that got your business to where it is today, and nothing against her, by the way, God bless those people, but they're not the same team members that you need on your team to kind of go past certain levels. There's different thresholds. There's different challenges. Do you have like some sort of guidelines? Is it a revenue number? Is it an amount of employees? What can you speak to in regards to that to let people know if they should really be thinking about this stuff yet, if they're ready?
Well, I think it's for most business people, the proof of concept, if you're really going to build a significant business, is you've got to have about $1 million of revenue. Once you hit that $1 million of revenue, there's a lot of things that you can do to decide whether you want to be a lifestyle boutique or whether you want to scale up. You know, prior to that, for most business owners, I mean, there's 28 million business owners, but there of that 28 million in the U.S., 18 million have no employees. And the vast majority of those businesses are really, it's a kind of freelancer job type part. And, you know, there's less flexibility there. But once you start really, having some success, and you're able to, and one of the first things you got to do is pay yourself first, and whatever margin, what business you're in, making sure, so many of us wait until we have money left over. Well, if you're growing a business, there's never money left over. So you pay yourself first, you get that discipline right away. And as you start really having the success, paying more in taxes, there's so many things that you can do to take from the super rich, people who have 500 million or more of net worth. I mean, really taxes and so much of this planning becomes optional because they have access to all kinds of talent. They have access to strategies and products and solutions that most of us don't. But now what's happened is the advisors who are really knowledgeable, we call them the elite wealth managers, they can bring that down because of technology and, the innovative networks out there. And, the difference from having good advice to having mediocre advice can be, can change your life.
Yeah, I hear you. So, and you're right. Most of the small businesses out there really aren't even businesses. They're self-employed people. If they get hurt, they have no income. If they fall off a ladder, it's over. They don't have a machine yet. And that's one of my passions is helping people understand how to build the machine so they can take their hands off the box, the proverbial box, and it will still churn and work and spit out dollar bills without them touching it all the time. That's kind of a different story. Let's talk about the economy in general. I mean, we got President Trump coming in January. All hell's breaking loose in the streets. People are freaking out and people love him. People hate him. And we're, the market went up after he, the first couple news days after the election. A lot of this stuff is emotionally driven and whatnot, but we do have a huge national debt. The dollar, it seems like we're printing lots of dollars with the quantitative easing that the feds do. How does that even matter to a small business owner in the street? What do you see coming over the next few years based on what you know on your end?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned very early, Josh, is I'm a big believer in what's often referred to as efficient markets, is that the financial markets, there was a time I could push a button and move $1 billion. There's a lot of financial people that can do that. And each of us is trying to, just get that few basis points, just a, little marginal profit. And because, really there's so much talent out there, that whatever, your and my belief are, I mean, it's priced into the market right now. And so as business owners, we want to stay focused on our business, but we want to create an investment philosophy that we can go long term with, that, as we pay ourselves and we get past, what we need for our lifestyle, so we have discretionary cash flow that we can put in and build up our personal wealth, so we have that flexibility to fund the lifestyle that we want, irrespective of our business, that becomes really powerful. And the idea here that I see over and over again, you get caught up in the emotion of the day, as you mentioned, with the Trump election. I mean, I think I was one of the more optimistic, and I thought it was about a 1 out of 3 chance that he would win, 2 out of 3 Clinton would win. And given that, the market initially didn't have that, and it was a little bit like what happened in the UK as they exited the European Commonwealth, it was a big surprise. The betting pools, which are often so good, even beyond the polls, didn't see Trump winning. But, the market very quickly corrected for that. And what we're seeing is it's likely to be a very good environment for small business. We're not sure because this is his first political office. And there's not a lot of track record for us to see. But when we start looking at what affects small business owners, one big thing that's a drag is our not too silent partner, the taxing authorities. And we see some pretty remarkable likelihood between, you know, having both houses in Congress and the president relatively aligned on a massive tax reduction, particularly for small business. You know, and then you start looking at, you know, the likelihood that the estate tax is going to be done away with. And you start seeing all these things. And you know, the regulation, which is huge for small business owners, you know, the commitment that they're saying, and, you know, there's a big difference between saying and putting in the action. But for every new regulation passed, they're going to kill two. You know, this is big for us as business owners. And the more we can make it simplified, the more success we can have. And this is where, you know, we can be optimistic, but we want to be guardedly optimistic. And this is why you invest long term versus, you know, the short term swings.
Yeah. Well, that's all really good stuff. Thank you so much for that insight. And, you know, you talk a lot about being, you know, seriously wealthy while still focused on growing your business. What could that look like? Could you give us a couple scenarios? Because, you know, one of the things that one of my philosophies, the way I look at money is 50 years ago, to me, the idea was if you save enough $1 bills up in a pile, whether it's a 401k or in a mutual fund, whatever, if your pile gets big enough to where you can start drawing on it and before you're dead, like it lasts you until you're dead, like that's how you retire, right? But really now with, you know, the way you can leverage things, the way you can, you know, use real estate or other passive income vehicles, do you deal with that side of it too? Because for me, you could be in your 30s and if you can use the income or the extra cash from your business to buy things that produce passive income for you, even though you might not have millions in cash, you have that kind of inflation-proof or inflation-resistant passive income stream coming in. Is that a technique that you work with people on? Is that just one small piece of a bigger pie? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really one piece because, I mean, what we want to look at is what's happening first on human longevity and aging. I mean, you know, in today's world, if you can keep yourself healthy for the next 15 years, all the medical breakthroughs, it's very likely you're going to live to 100. In good health. Okay. And, you know, boy, we didn't sign up for that. And most people don't have anywhere near the financial assets or aren't on track to do that. And so all of a sudden now we've got, you know, more responsibility of how do we design our financial affairs, our personal wealth outside of our business. And so it's really taking in with our discretionary cash flow and paying ourselves first, using some of the tools of the super rich and the ultra wealthy business owners, the ability to have retirement plans, and we can do really simple things, or as we have more cash flow, we can do, you know, where defined benefit plans aren't being used in big businesses. Well, in small businesses, there's huge opportunities there. Or as we start scaling up our business, we can, you know, one of the things we have is we have to mitigate risk, and we can mitigate risk through some legal structure. But as we build larger and larger businesses, we can, instead of paying our insurance premiums to the insurance company, we can actually create our own insurance company. It's called a captive insurance company. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, pay the premiums that we were to our own company, as well as what we were already self-insuring, paying that. And that can actually be deductible and can be really accumulated on a very tax-favored basis. And then you get all the profits of the what you would do in the insurance company. And you can actually, because you're an insurance company now, you can reinsure this, the catastrophe type thing. So, I mean, there's so many, you know, cost-effective ways that we can go ahead and really use this to create some value that most, you know, business owners, we're just so busy, you know, in our business, Josh, that you talked about being an amateur in this. Well, it's hard to stay up on everything in life. And so what we've got to do is identify the right people that can help us, that can be part of our expert team, our professional network, that can guide us on this journey. so that we can make these smart decisions.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. One of the biggest hangups that small businesses or stuck businesses have is they're very resistant to the idea of assembling a team of people. I mean, God forbid, you know, maybe there is smarter people on this planet than you, Mr. Business Owner. You got to have a team. The people that go 7 or 10 or 8 figures or whatever, they have a team. They know how to delegate. They assemble people. You got your legal guys. You got your tax guys. You got your finance guys. You got all the guys and girls you need to win, right? Because business is a team sport, but there's a lot of fear, John, with, I don't want to say people like you, but with financial advisors and the fear of the unknown. And I don't know exactly what holds these guys back, but what would you say to encourage people to get off their butt and to connect with an advisor that can help them, you know, leave a legacy and put the things in place over the long term that they need?
Well, my guess is for almost every one of your listeners, it's going to be worth tens of thousands of dollars, maybe even millions of dollars, if they have the right financial advisor. So one of the there's three things that we're looking for is, you know, we want integrity. I mean, this is, you know, it's just so important. You don't want to take any chance of, you know, the financial advisors running afoul of the regulators. And, you know, this is really fairly easy to check in today's world, you know, the backgrounds and so on. And you want references, you know, to prove out the profession that they have working with these other professionals, accountants, attorneys, insurance specialists, and so on, and that their focus is with business owners like yourself and more successful. You also want competence. They have to have the technical skill set to not only deal on the investment side, but what we call advanced planning. That's mitigating taxes, taking care of the heirs, protecting the assets from litigation and divorce, and charitable planning. And then they have to have the experience. So this is, you're not looking, you know, Josh, you talked about as, you know, you were with a big firm and you get your license and a little bit of training. Most of the training is on relationship. It's not on really giving good advice. You kind of pick that up on your own along the way, which is not what everybody thinks. And so you want to have that. And so the big part that I recommend and is that you get a second opinion, no matter where you are. And in our research, you know, we asked a few hundred business owners about getting second opinions. We asked, had they gotten in the last 12 months a medical second opinion? And 41% said yes. And of those, two-thirds said, you know, it was really worthwhile. I'm glad I did. When we asked, did you get a second opinion on your personal financial situation? 11.1, I mean, you know, just almost 1 out of 10 said that they did. But of those who did, 9 out of 10 said it was extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. And this is where, you know, really looking at, you know, meeting with someone that's reviewing your situation that has that integrity, the competence and the experience, that's where it's so valuable.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, before we wrap up and you tell us how we can contact with you and connect with you or your team, because I know, you know, business owners that are interested in this, I think you have some resources or ways that they can try to talk to some people about this, right?
We do.
Okay. But I want to ask you a couple generic business questions. Just, I think you're an interesting guy. You've done a lot of stuff. You know all these people, right? And so you get to see the mindset differences, the behavioral patterns, the habits of highly successful people, whether it's, you know, maybe there's correlations between giving and how successful people are, or the way that they look at money contrasted against a typical struggling plumbing company that does $500,000 and they're stuck. And is there anything you can share? I mean, you're in these mastermind groups with a lot of high achievers. Is there any gold nuggets, anything you can say to encourage people or give us anything in that area to help us move forward or people that are stuck like that?
Yeah, it's really so much. Well, one, let me resource that we have at AESnation.com. AES, it's Accelerating Entrepreneurial Success Nation.com. There's the book I wrote with Joe Polish and Dan Sullivan called The State of the Entrepreneur. We give you all the statistics of what you're asking, Josh, for from 3,500 business owners. But really what they're doing is it's so much. You know, as business owners, initially we dive in And, you know, the business appears simple when we first dive in, but it's simple because we're ignorant, really. We don't know how challenging it's going to be. And as we do it more and more and we get involved, you know, we get into the complexity. And for many people, it's overwhelming. They never get past that. And to the extent that you can get on what we call the right side of complexity, to that level of simplicity, you build a simple and elegant business that's focused on just really doing one thing well and do it, you know, with persistence and determination and constantly learn. Let the market give you feedback. You can create tremendous wealth. And we see it over and over again. In the book, The State of the Entrepreneur, we share the six key drivers of that. But it's really that they stay focused on, you know, delivering a great client experience. They nail that client experience. And then they create the systems. And I know this is big for you. So it's a system, that client path, that experience, all yes. the way from awareness to delivering, you know, this great result. But then it's also creating, these are the two biggest drivers. One is the client experience. And the second is putting the systems in place to have that steady stream of pre-qualified, pre-endorsed affluent, I'm thinking of affluent clients for us, but whatever your market is, your clients, mm-hmm. customers that you want to have, you've got to put in place those systems that it's going to happen each and every day.
That is so well said. And if I can give my little summary on what you just said, really everything you just spoke about was from the perspective of a person focused on the end user, the person receiving the deliverable, the person, right? And a lot of small business owners are the ones I work with. They focus on dollars for themselves to buy their groceries. They're focused on getting money, getting the dollar. And it only leads to poor decision making, and it caps you because you're thinking about yourself, your needs. We need to reverse engineer that customer life cycle, that experience. You know, I don't care if you have a lawn care or a pressure cleaning company. If you can make doing business with you feel like a $200 steak dinner at some New York hotel, if it feels like that, you're going to have a lot more profitability. You're going to decommoditize your business. You're going to crush it. But a lot of these guys just miss that. They miss it. And I just think it's fascinating. I talked to Mike Michalowicz earlier today. I did two podcasts today, and the guy's just awesome. And he was talking about how everything we sell is sort of a product, right? Almost like a manufacturer. You can look at your business like a manufacturing company, you know, and then you have to look at the supply chain and the process to get it and what it feels like for the customer to go down the conveyor belt. And whether it's a service or a physical product, you don't start with just creating a product or servicing someone with a service. It's about that entire chain and making it smooth and consistent and deliver repeatable. And then the last thing I heard you say was kind of speaks to there's riches in the niches. We need to be good at something specific and then replicate and duplicate it and couple it with a lot of deal flow and qualified leads. I think we overcomplicate some stuff sometimes. And I do think that a lot of the most successful people I talk to, John, like yourself, have a different mindset entirely when they look at their business. It's about how do we serve the market? How do we scratch the itch? And a lot of little companies are only trying to scratch their own itch, frankly.
Well, and I think you said it well, Josh. You know, it's the free markets work. I mean, I'm a big believer in capitalism, as you are. And the more value we can deliver to the right audience that is willing to pay us for that value, I mean, we can do exceptionally well. So it's really designing that client path from the awareness. How are they going to hear about you? You know, in all the noise that's out there today, and how are you going to have great conversations, moving it from kind of that awareness to having that consultative process if you're a professional service or a product. But it, even if you're doing a professional service, one of the mistakes I see so many of the freelance people do is they're doing, you know, kind of a project by project. It's a one-off. There's no systems in place, and they're doing whatever they need to survive, but they're not. Yeah, you know, I would encourage them to think about it, dividing their business into two parts. There's the what I'll call venture consulting. And this is really where you're doing some consulting that is one-off, but you want both the relationship. It's something that's going to add value, you know, learning-wise. You're going to deliver a lot of value to your client, but you're going to learn from it. But it's also going to provide the cash to build these client pathing experiences, nailing that value creation for your whatever your niche is, and at the same time, positioning you well to attract them.
Beautiful. Beautiful, John. Well done. Well done, John. Virtual high five right there. I love it. I love it. So look, it's all about value. We'll end on this note. Provide value to the market. Provide value to the market. Please provide more value to the market. Find a way. Get a blank piece of paper. It's not rocket science. How can you scratch the itch better than the people around you? How can you get in front of the people that are itchy? Oh, I'm getting so passionate here. John, is the website you gave out earlier, aesnation.com, the best one to get that report that you did? That's a free report, right?
That's a free ebook. It's a very, you know, it's well done, great research. We do a lot of research and, you know, normally we charge hundreds of thousands of dollars to our big corporate clients, but this is one we put out for free. There's also a scorecard to really take an assessment on where you are today in maximizing your own personal wealth. You know, how are you doing becoming seriously wealthy, where you can score before the second opinion and then after the second opinion. And both of those are free downloads at the website.
Incredible. Guys, everybody listening, go get this stuff. You have to measure where you are. If you're not measuring anything, you can't achieve anything. And, you know, good businesses don't happen by accident. They happen by design. You guys got to take action. Take advantage of this ebook from John. And look, these guys are super high achievers. You need to plow it into your brain. Get right. Take the financial checkup scorecard thing. I'm going to do it when I hang up. I mean that. I really am. John, I appreciate your time. You've been very, very generous with your time today. And guys, connect at aesnation.com. And that stands for what again, John?
Accelerating Entrepreneurial Success. We found that nobody could really spell entrepreneurial, so it became AES Nation.
It's a hard word, even for the highest of achievers, let me tell you. John, thank you so much.
Josh, thank you for the privilege, and look forward to hearing from your listeners on how big an impact they're making for their clients and becoming seriously wealthy by doing it.
Look, we can only change our communities and our families if we can start with the smallest denominator, which is ourselves, our own mindset. We got to put in the work. We got to start thinking the right way. We have to get serious about this stuff, guys. You only get one life. That's it. You get to spend it. You get to spend your minutes. Spend your minutes on the right things, thinking about the right things. John, you're awesome. Super appreciate it.
I wish you the best of success, Josh.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.